My.
Oh. Don't look at my.
You want me to move it?
No.
Oh, okay.
You want to start it? I'll start it.
It's up to you. We keeping that, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Welcome to the Overrated Truth. I am your host, Good Luck, alongside my co-host, Lasers in the building.
Yeah. You know, Sam, I have a special announcement real quick that Luck will be introducing my new show only on WGN, One More Lays.
Oh, my God.
Casting will go through Mahoney. You want to be a part of the show? Mahoney one is taking more One More Lays. Yeah, I'll be working on that.
Okay. All yeah, right.
One More Lays. Y'all can go to Mahoney's Instagram and, you know, submit your pictures and shit.
Here, man.
No manginas, though. No manginas. Thank you.
Oh, my God. And I also want to introduce my co-host. Mahoney is definitely in the building.
Sure.
How you guys doing?
Hey. Fucking fantastic. How are you guys?
All right. How was you guys' weekend?
Besides the Versus being battled, Versus being canceled. Slow. Slow.
Yeah, I was kind of looking forward to that. I'll confront. Yeah, because, you know, when I... It's one of the things, like, when you start tapping into, like your days... Like, these are all music we all came up on. I'm speaking for us here on the podcast, not for all you listeners. I don't know your age range and stuff like that, but...
Right, y'all could be five.
Right, yeah. But,
possibly.
I was excited to see how that would turn out, because I think that's going to be an interesting... versus, you know, I understand some people are strong-sided one way or the other. Me, not so much. You know, I don't know how it can turn out. For me, it seemed like it's going to be a good versus, and it's going to take. If somebody does take a win, it's going to be like one or two songs. It's not going to be somebody going to get their ass kicked, in my opinion.
No, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I highly agree with that.
Because they both got some bangers, and you know, yeah, they both got some bangers, man. I think Ashanti definitely got some big monster hits, and Keisha Cole. Not only does she have some big monster hits, but she. A lot of sisters relate to her. She had a lot of music that got some women through some times.
She is heavily part of the breakup culture of Black America.
Keisha Cole is part of the breakup culture?
Breakup music culture.
He's
definitely on every woman's I hate him list.
You know, as a self-proclaimed hoochie, and if you don't know the definition of a hoochie, just DM me. I'll give it to you, because there is a difference between a hoochie and a hood rat. I don't know nothing about being ratchet.
Ask your local auntie.
Because they weren't making ratchets when I was coming up. You was either a hoochie, Eastie, or a hood rat. And there is a distinct difference.
You was definitely flitty.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Word. You know what I'm saying? But it was like, we grew up on Mary J. Blige, and that was cool, but we really wasn't going through things. And then when Keisha Cole came out, it was like, oh, this speaks to my heart, nigga, because I changed my mind. I don't love you no more. You know what I'm saying? Love, I really thought you had my back this time.
I should have cheated.
I should have.
I might as well
have. Anytime you start off a song with, first of all, let me say.
Yeah, this is deep.
First, the fuck of all, let me say.
Let me say.
But we, even in all this, I do want to say that, for as far as the show goes, we do want to send our prayers up for Ashanti. Hopefully,
yes,
that she's okay.
Please,
this COVID thing is real, and you know we're finding many people, friends, family, and we're watching celebrities, get this virus. And I'm praying that it, you know, she for a speedy recovery. Praying that she pulls through. I definitely was looking forward to the battle, but not at the sake of her health. So, you know, but we'll eventually get it, because I believe she's gonna pull through. She's gonna be okay.
Get better, Ashanti. We're going on our date on Zoom soon.
But you know what? I know we got right into the topic, but we must say also. RIP to Tiny Lister.
Man.
Also known to the world as Debo, or also known to the world as Zeus. right. for the older heads like myself.
Right.
Who came up on No Holds Bars.
No Holds Bars, yeah.
Right. Barred, I meant to say. I don't want people to check me like, you said bars, but, you know, anyway. But, yeah, man, I was sad. I think, you know, and I've never met him personally, but I've heard nothing but nice things about him. Like, he's a super dope dude, really nice dude to meet, really cool. Always was nice to fans and spoke, took pictures and autographs and stuff like that. It's just sad to see him go. He done some amazing things. Classic art he left here on this earth, and he's definitely going to be missed. You guys want to add anything?
I just want to say, please recognize the greatness in character actors such as him. That man has earned over 200 film credits, which says a lot for an actor. He's been on Star Trek. He was in the Remember the Time video. He was in The Fifth Element. Like, everything you could think of, just about, he was in that thing.
Yeah.
And I will say this, and it's funny. My mom used to work when I was real little. Well, about 7 or 8. My mom used to work at this hair salon called Hair Performers in Carson. And it was this dude, hella big, that would come in there all the time with this crazy eye, and he scared the shit out of me. And he would pick me up and hold me like this, and I would scream, and it was tiny.
Wow, that's an amazing story.
Right. And he came and got his hair cut one time, and I told him about it, and he was like, I remember you. Like, I remember that hair salon. He was talking to one of the stylists in there at the time.
That's a dope
and
story.
It was like in the 80s, and my mom would be like, you don't remember? And he would, I'm like, no, mommy, I don't. But that's one person who needs to write a memoir is mom. My mom. Because she's, I'm starting to think maybe she was a hoochie.
Don't be embarrassed when she gets through
them wild days. No, she probably would have been a floozy.
Damn. You never talk about my mom like that. Not in front
I'm
of
I'm just
me.
Thinking about a what terms they use.
Like hussy.
Like a hussy.
Strawberry.
All right. That's something.
No, strawberry is something else. Something now, you low key just called my mama a hoe, and I owe you a fade after this
but
show.
You know I love your mama.
We gonna have to take a fade. You what? Look, I'm like, wait, what?
This is a platform to get that off.
Right.
I have to tell you sometime. You
I'm about
Christmas,
to side eye you the whole rest of this podcast. Like,
would you be mad? If I said it on the show and then you showed up at Christmas.
You done brought this up a few times.
Do you guys see yourselves, well, what's a couple of ways, or maybe if any, you see yourselves and your parents? If any kind of way.
As far as relationship wise?
However, for me, I'll go first.
Please.
For me, I see so much of myself and my mom. Like, my mom is a person I always thought was hilarious. She's funny. She's always joking. She was always.
She is always.
Right. I mean, I'm not. She. Oh, I'm talking like she. Not
yeah.
Here,
yeah.
I'm saying, but she was. I mean, she was always. I'm thinking that's coming up. Like, I'm thinking about my mom, but.
Because I just don't want your DMs to be flooded with. Oh, right, my God. Right.
No. My mom is hilarious. And my mom's older now, too. So it's not like she was super young. Like, I remember I'm thinking of younger my mom, obviously. Mm-hmm. But even now, though, my mom is just still always lively, funny, always joking. She's always joking about something, and I attribute my sense of humor to my mom and where I got most of that from, because she's just always like, and even with the family and friends, she was always a person that everybody would come to and talk to. Also, so maybe that thing, that whatever that is, I see that in myself, because a lot of my friends, whether guys, girls, they were always trusting me with, like, whatever, conversation, talking about things, sometimes secrets, all these things. And my mom, I see my mom being the same way. So, yeah, those are a couple of things for sure that I know I got from my mom.
Pretty much the same. I see some traits in my dad too. Just like little shit, you know. I see like the things I do, how I, you know, go about my day, and how I treat certain motherfuckers. Like, all right, that's my pops, but like
my mom was funny, my pops was funny, like being productive and just doing certain shit like my dad did, like when he was around, like mm-hmm. he passed away, but you know, but my mom is still here. But you know, just like you said, my mom was funny, very productive, self-aware, and just how she goes about her day and certain yeah. shit, you know, you never know the shit you picked up mm-hmm. until you like, now we at the age, it's like, God damn, I'm acting just like.
Where you start thinking, yeah, you start realizing, mm-hmm. you get to a certain place in your life, you start realizing that the everything they was, you know, depending on how you was raised, especially like a lot of things they were telling you as a when you were a kid, that you see what they mean in a lot of ways and how you kind of feel like that when you get older. Exactly. About life stuff and like, all kind of shit like that. You know, your mom, you look back and your, a lot of things your mom and dad is still, my dad acts like my brother to me. My dad was a little more quiet, a little more reserved. My brother is quiet, kind of. My brother, kind of like anxiety type. You know, he don't like to be with, like around a lot of people and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. my brother is cool. We talk and laugh, but he's still kind of quiet. That reminds me of my brother. I never told them that either, but that reminds me of my brother. But yeah. So, what about you?
Besides still in my mother's whole entire face.
besides that, right.
Besides that point, I used to, because I didn't really grow up like with a strong relationship of my father, I just assume my personality was my mom. Like I know my mom's side of the family is a bunch of fucking comedians. Swear to God, it's like Showtime at the Apollo when we get together. Everybody has to out joke the other person. But when my father started getting sick and I was spending all that time with him, I realized, because I've had a sense of humor, but my sense of humor is very dark.
Yeah.
And when I was spending time with my dad, I realized that I get that shit from him.
Oh, really?
My love of music. Mm-hmm. Like, I know my mom likes to dance. She, you know, used to party all the time. But my love of music comes from my father. Like, even mm-hmm. when he was going in between realms. Mm-hmm. Like, you put on some music for him, and he'd be sitting there talking to whoever he was in the room talking to. And then he'd go, hey. Start.
Really?
Yeah, like, turning up in the room. So, like, those last couple of a month, like, that last month, we would just play him, me and his, the person that shared the room with him, old white dude named Mike. We would just play music for him, and he'd be going off, like I said, talking to whoever he saw in the room.
Right.
And the music come on, he'd be like, oh, this is my song, hold on. And like, turn up. Yeah, and then, like,
interesting about music.
It's just that memory muscle in your brain.
But even with that, right? For sure. I thought that. No, I'm sorry. I think that for sure. But also, what is it about music that it almost breaks through like another layer of a special thing that touched the soul? And what I mean by that is that, for example, like there have been people who've dealt with like Alzheimer's and dementia.
It's vibrational.
There you go.
Yeah, okay.
It's the frequencies in it.
For sure.
That's why I think I've mentioned it before on the show, like just, you weren't drinking my water, are you?
No, it's right here.
Oh, okay, making sure.
Actually, look, I'm right here.
But it's the vibration and the frequency in it, because certain frequencies have a tendency, they heal,
right?
And so the vibration in music is, it's healing to your soul. Mm. That's what we feel, that's what we know. So that's the part of music that breaks through when like you're going through dementia. There are people who could go to a piano, almost at a computer, a piano, and still play if they knew how to play,
right.
But they might not know your name, and you could be their son.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole.
That's deep.
Thing.
It's that, and it's also, music puts you in a time and place where you're happy, or, like, you know, there's sad songs, but we all have that one song, if it comes on, we have a fucked up day, and that shit is just turning completely left. Like, completely.
For sure.
Left.
But even with that, though, I think, to that point.
Mine is cuss words, too short.
But to that point, you know, the frequency part being the undertone of that, right? Mm-hmm. Because for example, some people can have like, and I use Alzheimer's and dementia to make it medically impossible or hard to remember certain things at certain moments.
Yeah.
Right. But for example, you might not remember your mom, but an old girlfriend back in 73 can show up and then boom, he takes you back there. You remember her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then you're back in that moment of that. Right. But music, which is so ill, it seems like it never missed.
Never.
And I'm not stating that as a fact.
Oh, no.
I'm not saying as a fact. I'm just saying it seems like music, it takes almost everybody. I know it's a lot to say. That's why I'm not saying it's a fact. But it's like it never missed with when it comes to memories. But to your point, that it got to be the frequency. Because you see people I remember I was just watching I know it's just a show, but I was just watching Grey's Anatomy with and I don't know if y'all watch Grey's Anatomy, but the old chief Weber, his wife has Alzheimer's now, and she just got it, so she's falling in and out, but it's getting worse, it's progressing, right? Mm-hmm. But it was this one scene where she showed up to the hospital looking for him, and she's found him, and she know it's him, she know that's her husband. But the lady that's standing next to her, she think that's the lady who he used to cheat with. He fell in love with this woman back in the day. Mm-hmm. The woman is actually her daughter.
Oh, wow.
But she can't decipher between the two. She started going off, why are you standing next to her? What's she doing here? And he started singing a song, and she immediately just drifted off and started matching him on the song. Now they're singing the song together. And that song was a song that they got married to. It was a wedding song. And she immediately just snapped out of whatever, and then boom, now she's there again. You know what I mean? So to what we've been talking about, and then that piece from that scene, and your dad, right? It's like there's all these things. There's all these
I bet.
Especially now, talking about this is what we're talking about, right? But
oh my God, my heart. I was like, oh shit.
But yeah, but I think the frequency thing, that's real. That's real. It's tapping into something way deeper. Way deeper. It's definitely below, under the surface, below the layers of just sound. Of just like, I hear something, it's tapping to like a memory bank. Mm-hmm. It's tapping deeper into that, going deeper into the core of who you are and your memories as a person and your being, your soul, essentially.
Yeah.
You know.
I
that's deep.
So my my love of music from my dad. my sense of humor from my dad, but the rest of that, like, just being real cool and laid back, like, it's both of my parents.
Yeah.
Both of them have, it's weird, like, I think I am the perfect blend of the both of them. Because my mom doesn't like to admit it, but she has a smart mouth. And my dad, for sure, had to be mixed with asshole.
Right.
So it's like, I'm the blend of all of that.
It's crazy, you know, talk about family. You start to, you know, we're obviously some rough times, you know, obviously COVID being a thing, a real, very real, real thing. And it seems like it's getting worse.
It is.
Yeah. With it being worse, you know, they, you know, pushing out this vaccine, the speedy vaccine, which unusually, it was done pretty fast. Got it pretty fast. You know what I mean? Inside of a year. You know, it's very new. Very new vaccine. When usually it takes years and years and years to get a vaccine going for something, for some disease or something goes down. And, you know, we know that a couple of companies got the account, Pfizer being one, I think Moderna, right, being another. And they're basically robbed the roll amount. First we heard the rumors, then we heard that now we're seeing the little vaccine cards that they might be rolling out. And then we know that it's just been approved by the FDA. Mm-hmm. We know that it's 95% effective, right? I think I don't want to misuse the word effective, right? But it's supposed to be 95% something effective.
And it's a series of vaccines.
And it's a series of vaccines. I think it's two shots, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And they're basically about to roll that out. And the first rollout is about basically like trial runs, right? Emergency vaccine now. And then they're going to do a full rollout, I think, maybe 2021, early sometime. And then I'm not sure if the rumors are sure we're mandatory, you know what I mean? But I don't see it being mandatory, but I think they're gonna make it very hard for you to operate
without it
in society without getting the vaccine.
They're talking about if you want to do overseas travel, you may have to be vaccinated. But I mean, you have to get certain vaccines to go
certain places,
to certain places anyway.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm kind of torn, like right in the middle, because I do have friends that are doctors. And I've heard their pros and I've heard their cons. My own personal beliefs. I know how I feel about vaccines. I just, and the government. So it's like, I'm in the middle. So like, I don't know how I feel about it yet.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. It's like, at this point, fuck it. Like, I don't know.
It's kind of hard because you start to base your decision on like, what does regular life look like again?
Right.
You know, we passed through that. This is going to be the first holiday I probably don't spend with my family.
This is definitely first holiday I don't spend with my family.
Which is weird because I didn't spend Thanksgiving with my family. Which I've never not done spend Thanksgiving with my family.
Me either.
And, you know, we just, that's a big part of who we are, family. Especially black people.
Yeah.
Especially black people. We're big, communal. I don't know if I said the word right. Communal.
Communal.
Communal, big communal group, real family, tight-knit family. All we have is us, essentially.
We got.
And it's hard to not be able to deal with each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's already hard for people who are dealing with depression, going through things. Some people need human contact. We need to have these relationships. You need to be able to go chill with your best friend and go cry on somebody's shoulder. You know, or just even think how real it is for sometimes with your parents, where some parents won't allow their kids to come over because, you know what I mean? It's real for them. Not like it's not real for me or us, but some parents are a little more like, no, I love y'all, but I can't. You can't come over or you can't. And I don't remember a time in my life where I couldn't go kiss my mom. You know what I mean? Like, I remember a time where I couldn't just go kiss my mom. Like, That's deep when you think about it. And, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot, man. And with me, I don't trust the government like the rest of us don't trust the government. I just don't.
Right.
I'm the one that still, I get irritated when I go to the hospital and they ask me, I may be there for 30 minutes to an hour for a visit. And you've asked me 10 times, do I want a flu shot?
Yeah.
That's a little invasive and scary. Like, that's scary when you think about it. You've asked me 10 times. I've told 10 people no. One person twice, and like 10 people no. Like, that's a little tricky. It's a little tricky. So, when it comes to like the vaccine, I don't, it's like, you hear these things, right? I've talked to my friends who, like yourself, Mahoney, I've talked to my friends who are like doctors and people in the medicine field, pharmacists, who know what's going on, who know what's in the vaccine. I was in a good conversation on Clubhouse with some doctors and some pharmacists and some scientists who was breaking it all down, pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And just like raw to like, look, this is what's going on, this is that. And then we understand how y'all feel. This is the pros and cons. Basically, like, what y'all going to do? You know what I mean? Like, kind of like just breaking it down. And you'd be right on in the, and the real part that got me split in the middle also is vaccines ain't new.
They're not.
It's like Mahoney said. It's like,
right.
Try to go to Africa without getting one. Like, you know what I mean? It's like vaccines aren't new and we've had diseases before where vaccines had to be rolled out and people had to take these vaccines and it's happened before. You know what I mean?
It's happened before. And I just don't like the comparisons when people are like, oh, but there's no vaccine for AIDS. And AIDS was a pandemic, but it was not on the level that this virus is. Like, let's be clear. Yes, there are certain things that the medical community really does need to address. Of course, we've all had people that were affected by cancer. My mother is a cancer survivor.
My dad's a cancer survivor.
Right. My grandmother just passed away from cancer. That is something that needs to be addressed. Hell yes. But still, that is not as rapid as COVID is. Like, it's starting to get scary.
But here's the thing, though.
It's starting to get real scary, actually.
But to put in perspective, though, I don't want to play. Not that you are, respectfully, obviously. I don't want to play the game of like, what's worse.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I just don't like when people compare one thing to another. Like, let's not do that.
Right.
Let's just focus on what we got in front of us.
But here's the thing, though. The reason why I understand that, but here's the thing about that conversation is that, because that makes sense, too. That's the cold part, right? Like, we're in COVID. We're going through COVID right now, and we're on lockdown, right? But that also does make sense. We've had the same conversation with doctors and scientists and pharmacists about when they say the same thing. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
The flu does kill way more people.
It does.
Than heaven, or cancer or whatever. And yes, you're right. It has, you know what I mean? But right now we're in this thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
this is the stage we're in.
But to the people, us, that you're asking to trust in the system, that system, like, the reason why we have those questions is because we like, hold up. Like, y'all been searching for years and years and doing all the utmost research, because they ain't like they stopped searching for a cure for AIDS.
Right.
Right.
And then depending on what you believe, it's a whole nother story. But it ain't like they stopped doing a cure for AIDS or cancer or all these malaria or all these things. Right.
Yeah.
So the distrust is, first of all, the government, and I'm speaking for black people now. Right.
Yeah.
So the government already. They're, you already know how they look at us. And then they come up with a vaccine so fucking fast out of nowhere, right? And also, then they say, we want y'all to take it first. So it's like, dude, it's almost like, I'm not falling for that one again. It's kind of like that thing. Like, I'm not falling. Even with, and that's why that my friends hear my griping about, like, I feel you. Like, my friends, like, who are in the medical field, like, look, I understand. Because that sounds crazy. All these things that happened to y'all in this country, and then up until like George Floyd and all these things, and black women dying at alarming rates and having birth in hospitals and not being cared for specifically and efficiently in the way they're supposed to be cared for, are dying at alarming rates in the hospital. I was just listening to another podcast about a girl who went to the hospital because her cycle was crazy, and she kept getting sent home, but she knew something was wrong. She ended up in the first, she said the first two doctors that talked to her told her, she said they heard her problems, listened to her for about 30 minutes and told her, you got to get a hysterectomy. Two doctors. Hysterectomy, that's right. Where, what am I looking
for? Hysterectomy.
Hysterectomy, right?
Yeah, when they take
your... Right, when they take your uterus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two doctors, she was like, so she ended up finding a black doctor. Mm-hmm. Black doctor sent her to said, no, that's not something. It said, yes, there could be a thing. That's not out. You don't count that out. But I wouldn't just send you, max out and send you to that. We're going to do a full thing. So the black doctor ended up sending her to a specialist, and her and the specialist found out that she had 50 fibroids in her. 50.
That's a lot. I have 14.
And they ended up removing all 50 of them. They got all 50 of them. And y'all was about to ruin her. She's 34 years old. Y'all was about to ruin her chance for anything, having bad kids or anything.
But you know what? Just in the metal, we're going to jump topics anyway. But
we're on the same. Trusting the whole shit.
But I was just going to say that's the exact same thing that happened with my grandmother. Like, she was having pain. She had been telling her doctor for 2 years that something was wrong with her. And they just kept sending her home they changed her pain medication up. And she was like, no, I just don't, something doesn't feel right. You know, and it's the start to the last big time that we took her to the hospital, because it was a series of times she had to do stays in the hospital before eventually she passed in March. But she was telling them, like, I don't, like, there's a pain and I think I need to go to emergency. And they were like, oh, no, you'll be okay. And she was like, no, this don't feel right. It doesn't feel normal.
That's crazy.
Ended up, there was fluid collecting around her heart. And had they had sent my grandmother home, she would have passed away by the end of that night.
Wow.
But she was persistent in no, you guys need to check this out. Like, and I just think they write us off. And I don't want to just say doctors, because that happened to me with the dentist too. Mm. Like, I told him, I was like, it's like a nerve. I feel like maybe it might be a cavity, da da da. And he was like, no, you just need to extract tooth. And I'm like, for a light pain? Like, right. That don't sound right. Right. But that was his solution. And then I go to my uncle. Number one, he didn't even do the full extraction. Mm. He just put the top of the tooth. I don't know how you did that. But he was like, it's more money in extractions. And here I am trusting this person, like, oh, okay, maybe yeah, you know. That's my neighbor's. Yeah. So. Oh,
got it.
Yeah. I was going to take the batteries off. So, yeah, you know. But, I mean, not to be light, I mean, not to get dark with talking about the vaccine. Everybody do your due diligence. That's the best thing I could say.
I think that's the whole thing. You know, they can't make you do anything.
Yeah. Nobody can make you. They can't put you in jail. It's against the law
to force you to take a vaccine. You know, right. They can't. And we don't. Fair kind of spoke on that, I think, a couple of days ago, actually. Talking about the vaccine. I probably got to find it. But
did y'all know that? Never mind.
But you about to jump topic way off?
Yeah. Okay. That's what I said. Okay. Because it was okay. About Farrakhan.
Okay. Yeah. Don't jump too far.
Yeah.
But, Farrakhan spoke on about the vaccine, but we'll find it. We're not going to just go to that. But where he at? I don't know where he is. Anyway. About the vaccine. Yeah, so, you know, we don't. I'm still up in the air about it. Like, I don't want to be so militant and so whatever right. that I'm just like, you know, F all things medical fields. Nigga. And I don't believe that. I've never been that. But at the same time, you know, I don't. Bill Gates been pushing. He's been talking about depopulation, and he pushing so hard for these vaccines, stuff like that. And the fact that they put him in the front to make him some kind of spokesman for this shit scares the shit out of me. Because I'm like, is he tied to that? Do you got something going with Pfizer and them? And is he... Because, you know, he's been speaking up. He's not even hiding the fact he's talking about depopulation and all that. And then all of a sudden, you African Americans got to be first. Yeah. It's crazy. And then now, you've seen that Dr. Fauci, and now y'all parading. Y'all, look, first of all, I've seen two things that is just crazy. All of a sudden, you want to tell us that one of the head lead scientists in the whole creating of the vaccine is a black woman. And you want to put Dr. Charlotte something. You want to parade her. And then, which all of a sudden, like, where did this come from? Right? And then I seen they had in front of a couple of, I don't know if it was clinics or doctors, hospitals, whatever. They had these fools out there dancing, trying to get people to go in and get a vaccine. A bunch of
I'm talking about crazy.
I'm talking about to get us because they know we don't trust it, and we're being very loud and persistent when we ain't fucking with that.
Well, we know we not gonna go first because they know we not doing it.
They trying everything to get us to go though.
They're trying to get us, and they gonna keep trying. But
right,
they gonna do whatever it takes.
We will all be at them twin towers down if that's the case. Like, no, nigga, you not making me no.
Y'all go first, and we'll think about it.
Right. The only way niggas going first is if they say, in order to get into the hookah spot, I seen you motherfuckers. That's all I'm saying. Sit y'all asses down. But, and then my uncle, polio was a thing until it wasn't. That was about, yeah. Right. So I'm like, yeah. I don't know.
Chicken pox was a thing until it
wasn't. Right. So just, yep, is everybody. Pox thing?
Do niggas get chicken pox still?
No. Because you get vaccinated for that shit. Exactly. So it's just like, who, you know, just do your due diligence, people. Do your due diligence.
But here's the thing. Before 2013, I think that's the day, if I'm not mistaken, the year, there was no such thing as autism. So
yeah,
that's the other side to it. That's the reason why we be in a pickle with the wind about trusting the government. The way autism affects black kids specifically is a whole other range, a whole other number.
Well, they don't, I mean, just... We could look at, and we'll be here all day if we did this. They don't understand the composition of black bodies. That's why you have those stupid molds that tell you, oh, your BMI and all of that, and none of that fucking fits black people because we are genetically made up differently.
But I don't think that's the thing. No, I don't think it. Let's reword that. I don't think it's that because that's kind of giving them out. It's not that they don't understand.
They refuse to learn.
There you go. No, or not even learn. I think they know. They know exactly what's up. These people aren't idiots. They're not idiots. They're not dumb. They're not. These people are in some of the major medical in the medical fields. I'm sorry. Some of these people are some of the most intelligent, most brilliant minds in medicine,
right?
And in science, they know. They know, and it's enough of us idiots and dummies to go to do a lot of trial shit. They know exactly what's up. That's it. I don't be ignorant to like. They don't know us, and no, they know exactly what's up. They know exactly what's up. They just not.
They just not fucking with it. Is what I'm saying.
So, but yeah, man, let's move on to another topic though.
I was just gonna transition it without saying going to another topic, but since we're talking about crazy years and stuff like that, like I've been doing, I'm always on a quest to be better. Like, if anything, just talking to my friends outside of this and having conversations with people, you know, in the DMs and stuff, that I love some of y'all, even though sometimes I don't feel like talking to y'all. Because I'll be in my own world dealing with shit. But I do appreciate the conversation. So let me just say that. But like, what's one thing that you've discovered about yourself during this whole time of, not necessarily isolation, but, you know, this time off, this break from the world and things that you used to think you needed, and now you don't really, you like, I really don't need that so much.
I think I've realized that I don't need what I thought I needed to be happy.
That's a good one.
I think I've had, despite what's going on with COVID, and I don't want to be dismissive to all the sickness and people that have passed this year alone with COVID-19. Speaking to my experience, I've had one of the best years I ever had in my life in 2020. And when you think about that, it has nothing to do with, I've had my times of doing amazing things in music, touring, doing legendary things with legendary people, being in places I probably just found myself confused on how I even got here. Amazing places, eating crazy food, doing talking, having the craziest conversations. but where I am now in my mind, the person I am today, the man I am today, who I am with my queen today, and just my strives to be better all around as a future husband, a father, and I'm just a black man here in America. I've been on a full-on excel trip. My whole everything been about excelling, whether it's the mind, the body, and the spirit. And I found happiness in that. Yes, I want more as far as like like finance, certain finances, or better health, a better understanding of certain spirituality in itself. So I'm always looking forward to level up, right? But I also understand that I don't chase the money no more. I don't work and I don't grind, I don't hustle. I don't want people to get that confused.
Of course.
I'm just better at knowing my purpose on what I want all these things for. Essentially has nothing to do with me. I love myself and I love my person. I'm loving myself more and more daily. But what I want to do with money, being in better shape so I can physically be able to do the things I want to do out here in the world and be there for people and spirit, my spiritual beliefs. I want to have a bit better, clear understanding on life and itself in general so I can be clear minded to get ready and attack the world and be here out here in the world. That was my whole thing, has been leveling up and excelling this year. So I think I've been doing a great job. I can always do more and do better. And that's what I plan on doing every day. So yeah, I find myself happier and happier every day. That's my 2020. Guys?
I think I'm more patient with the world slowing down and not being able to do the daily things. I found myself more creative, more patient, and more hungry. Like Lux said, like 2020
yeah, it's been a, you know, all type of shit's going on, and, you know, but I've excelled a little more, like my hustle. I've thrived and drove my hustle to a different level this year. Starting different businesses, starting new things, and was something that I just didn't have time to do. So me being able to scale down and relax and really see and plan out and do shit for myself or other people, for all type of shit, is that I've learned more patience. I learned more patience, and I'm not in a rush to just keep doing a bunch of shit. I'm not rushing to, okay, I gotta get this done because I gotta do this and this. It's like, okay, do this, put your all into this one thing, then when you finish with that, go into another. Like, usually I'm everywhere doing a bunch of shit, but this year I was able to, you know, focus on shit one by one and not feel like I'm in a rush or I have no time limits or I have anything like to do like that. Like I said, like, the hustle is always going to be there to drive finances and shit like that. But yeah, man, it's just being more patient, being more focused, more. I want to say how my vision was kind of cloudy because I was doing so much shit, but now that I can see shit much clearer, and I think I've weeded out so much shit as well. So that's probably the best shit for me.
Dope. That's pretty dope. I would say I have realized that I've been making space and clearing room. I've been working on my spirituality and things like that, getting in tune to kind of, I don't want to say, let me say unlearn certain things that were embedded into me, and coming to my own with my spirituality and things like that. And it's made me realize this year, like, you know, the state that we're in, I realize how much I had been operating in fear and letting fear drive a lot of my decision making processes. And really, like, getting out of that and just realizing now that we know time is short, but you don't realize how shit can just change in the blink of an eye. And that's just made me be like, you know what? I gotta fucking jump off the porch, and I gotta get some things going for myself, and change a lot of things about myself that I kind of put off on other people. But then I got to doing, again, shadow work, and realizing that they only did the things to me that I let them do. So I've been changing those things about myself, getting better. I've realized how resilient I really am, and make some shit happen for myself, because, you know, when you're in an industry and both of your industries shut down for a while, man, that'll shake you to shit up. And I've just been like, you know what? We got to figure it out. And that's what has also made me get out of that fear mindset and having more faith and believing in myself and the divine and the creator and all of that. Like, between me and you, bruh, we got to work some things out. So what we about to do?
Right.
And I've also realized the blessing in the people you keep around you. Because I've had some people that have been complete, absolute blessings to my life at times when they didn't know. I've had friends, because they know both industries were shut down, that have been like, what's your refrigerator looking like?
Right,
like,
right,
just
right,
the simple
right.
things. Yeah, like, yeah. And even though I'm like, nah, I'm good. Like, I realize how prideful we all have become and how important community really is. Like, sure. I really love how around the city, I don't know how it is in other states, but or other cities even, like in Inglewood, I see so many community fridges pop up. Mm. And there's a community wall on Market and right between Queen and Regent, where people are just, I've even taken some stuff out of there, and I mean out there, and just putting stuff out. So people, you grab, you take, and like how those things are really needed. And sure. just that's the one thing that I hope everybody takes out of this, is community is important. And I saw a meme that said, you know, the one thing this year has taught me is who my real friends are. And it's not even just like you know, you got to be there for me and do something for me. But friends who really just be like, hey, you good over there? You okay? Do you want to talk about anything? Like, I've had some of the best, deepest conversations this year. And that's just really, like, kept me going. My mother just told me recently about something a friend had done for her, and I didn't even know she ever did this, and it brought me to tears. And I was just like, god damn, that happened way back then and I didn't even fucking know it. So it's just, yeah,
it's funny that with this year, it brought a lot of us close to well, first of all, it's very humbling too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because when you we're in our first of all, as Americans, we get so kind of like snobbish with like taking things for granted. You know, we've been seeing people outside our country go through this type of shit a lot. I've been watching it grow up. I've seen people go on lockdowns and quarantine, mm-hmm. and I mean, when in America, you thought that you would ever be on quarantine as far as us coming up, you know, and then so it's humbling. But to your point also, I agree. It's sort of like a pride kicks in knowing that even through all this, you know, a lot of us still survived or figured it out, or is trying to figure it out. Is they not going down? I mean, they going down fighting. Or it might not go down at all. You know what I mean? Like, people are saving themselves, and there's people who are losing business and businesses, mm-hmm. and their livelihoods and stuff like that. And then there's people who are like, who have turned up their businesses and made like made do and turn around, made a big income. And I'm not talking about like the Jeff Bezos of the world and all that shit. I'm talking about like the average human, the blue collar working citizen, has found a way to finesse in these times and make a dollar and provide for his family and do great things. And so you're watching amazing things happen, but you're also, it's still like very dark also. You know what I mean? You just got to pray. I just pray for everybody. And I mean, obviously, and I don't want to just, I've never been the type to just, you tell somebody just lean on prayer and that's it. I've never been that kind of guy. I mean pray for sure, but also figure it out, because you know, the pandemic coming down forced me to go outside and go work out. Mm-hmm. It forced me to go outside and go jump on a bike. It forced me to try to get my health together, because I want to live. Like, you know what I mean? And when you forced to just stay in the house and just think, when you're already dealing with, motherfuckers be depressed when it ain't no pandemic.
Right.
And now the world shut down. You can't even do your going. You know, there were certain things you needed to find that happy thing or them happy thoughts. And then
to go be able to,
got cut off from
for
you.
For balance.
Yeah, for balance, right? And then world got taken from you. So it's a beautiful thing. It's a gift and a curse. A bittersweet, what it is. And, you know. A lot of us turned up and became heroes in this, and a lot of people are going down. A lot are going down fighting. Some are going down hard, and you just got to pray and hope this comes to pass. My mom used to tell me that saying all the time, everything comes to pass. You know, I live by that also. But it's while you're going through it, it's hard. It's just hard, you know. So I just hope we all figure it out. You know, that's all, you know.
Yeah.
And this topic is more so like a, I only jumped to this topic so early. It's more like an ending of the show topic.
But she not really, because I was just gonna say the other thing that I've discovered in this pandemic too was One More Chance of Love.
Good segue. I don't know how, but
and let me just roll with me.
We here now.
You know what I'm saying? And I'd like to thank you gentlemen for that. You know, I'm trying to try some things out without us just saying, you know, topics and all of that. I just wanted to flow like a conversation. But the one thing
but I think we're jumping though.
How?
Because I think what happened to Tiffany Haddish is perfect for what happens in the pandemic, especially.
Yes. Yeah. You're right.
I mean, so, yeah.
You're right. And that is also a great segue. Because let's talk about how the Grammys, mm-hmm. as the Tiffany Haddish to host for F R-E-E. That is gratis if you are Spanish speaking. Say habla español, kinda. Okay?
Oh, my God.
Like,
here we are.
The fucking absolute nerve. And then to say, we're trying to give you exposure to a different audience, like...
Motherfucker, what?
They don't know Tiffany Haddish is.
Right.
Like, no, like, you don't know who I am because you came to me to ask me to host your show. It's not like they came and got Mahoney.
You didn't hire me to read one of the cards for... You asked me to host. You know damn well, you and your friends know damn well who I am.
You know.
Don't play me.
You know.
And to take it further, stop playing with black women.
Stop Please.
Playing with black women. You would have never asked Kevin Hart to do that for free. You would have never asked
Dave Chris Chappelle.
Rock and Dave Chappelle to do that for free.
Never.
Never. You never. Would never came at them like that. Don't act like you don't know who that is.
Black women. You didn't ask Alicia Keys to host for free. I know for fucking sure you didn't.
No, for sure. Don't do that. And because you tried to play her. You tried to play her like she was low scale, but you wanted her to host the Grammys. So we know she not. Stop playing with her.
That tells you.
And they asked to do for free. Stop playing with our people. Stop playing with black women like that. And I'm glad as hell she was like, you got me all the way fucked up.
Yeah. You got me misconfucked up. Because
I don't even know why we still fuck with it. That's the thing too.
I was just about to say we already shouldn't be giving in to these things. And this is another thing. Like I know y'all be hating on the BET Awards, but for years they've been trying to celebrate you niggas before it was owned by Viacom. So stop saying we need an award show that honors us. That does. That BET has tried to give y'all that for years and y'all disrespected it. We have the NAACP awards that y'all don't want to halfway watch when it come on TV
or show it.
So stop. So don't say that. Now it could be better on all ends. It could be a better show, but stop with that.
Stop playing.
Like those things didn't exist. But outside of that, Grammys, American Music Awards, all of that. Any award shows, the industry, stop fucking playing with black women. Stop disrespecting us.
They don't play.
That's all. They just keep fucking around with our black women. And yeah, we won a Grammy or whatever, but still. It's one of those things where they never going to respect us. They never going to do what it takes for us to do, you know, be the upper echelon, and we carry the music industry and the culture because everybody's bitten off our shit, but y'all not gonna take us serious, and we still steady keep trying to be accepted by these motherfuckers.
I think this is the dawning of a new day where we have to start saying no, like Tiffany Haddish did. Like, no. And you're going to respect the worth because you know the worth that I bring.
You know my value.
You know that you didn't come here. Hello, it's a booty hoe. She ready. These are all things that you and your friends emulate and imitate when you get together and you talking about the culture. And like, stop that.
So we have to
really start being like, and that's another thing I realized. I worked on a show this summer. It was rough, but we all got through it. Shout out to the team, to the squad. Y'all know who y'all are.
Gang.
But that's another thing. That was a constant conversation on our meetings, like your value and knowing your worth.
Right.
Sometimes we get pressed for shit. Like, I know it's a pandemic. As an artist, she probably hasn't been working. Yeah, she could use, you know, number one, that's insulting in itself. Because I've had people come to me asking me to work on things and be like, well, I mean, there are people not working at all. So that should be a blessing. No, you're not just going to offer me crumbs.
No.
Like when I know my worth, you know why you came to me. You know why you asked me to do your show. And sometimes you're like, okay, I need to do this because I need a little something right quick. And it ain't what I'm used to, but I'll do that. But how disrespectful is it to know who you are? Pretend like you don't know who I am and then offer you nothing.
Zero.
That's crazy.
pandemic. Like
in a pandemic.
The fucking
not even the fucking crafts table.
Nerve.
Like, zero.
Of you all. Like you guys should be ashamed. Save your we're tired.
We don't want your punk ass apology.
As the resident black woman of this show, let me tell you right here and right now, save your rehearsed in front of the camera Zoom apologies. We're sick of them. It's time for y'all to start showing and proving.
For sure. Absolutely.
Like it's just don't tell me like it was real cute when all these companies were talking about, oh, we're from black people and y'all was pandering to us. And then what happened to that?
And it's gone.
Yeah, like
everything's a trend.
Everything is exactly. Trending, and black people are not a trend. We are the thing.
Trend. Yeah, we are the trend.
We are the thing. So stop it. Stop it. And yeah.
Yeah, I think you've covered it pretty much there. But she, you know, like I said, stop disrespecting our women. Stop disrespecting us and black people. Listen very closely. We do not need them. They need us. End of story.
That's it.
That's it.
End of story. Now, what you saying about one more
and
chance?
And stop inviting niggas. Look, and stop inviting these white people to these mystical, hypothetical barbecues. No, they're not invited. They're not. Just because somebody did some shit that y'all think is cute
or cool.
And they did that shit just to go to your fucking mythical, magical barbecues. No, I ain't going. If certain people on that list, it's certain people, niggas, y'all I don't invited want
Chet,
invited.
Y'all invited Chet Hanks and then tore his ass up in Clubhouse when right. The Jamaican, real Jamaicans was in there in that room tearing his
exactly.
Ass up.
Exactly. It's certain niggas I don't want to be at this barbecue with. So stop. And I just want to bring Hanks. It back real, real quick just to say something. There's a book called African Holistic Health mm-hmm. by Dr. Layla Africa, A-F-R-I-K-A.
Oh, wait. Oh,
uh-huh.
She got it. Okay.
And it is a book and it really tells you about the chemical composition of yourself, black people. Mm-hmm. It tells you about your diet, the things you should put in your body. Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing book.
What is it? What was it one more time?
It is the holistic here. I'm about to. It is African Holistic Health.
Okay. By Dr. Layla Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Africa with a K.
Uh-huh. Look it up.
So what you say about one more chance?
I know you want me. Yeah. Honey.
The most ghettoest shit. Yeah, of all reality shows ever. And I'm talking about, man, this shit tops.
It beats.
Real Ray J of Love.
Flavor of Love.
New York show.
For the love of New York.
For love of New York. Real Chance of Love.
Listen.
This right here is just uncut, unadulterated, ghetto mastery. That's what this show is.
First of all.
One more chance on the Zeus Network.
I know I said this last show. Look, as I turn into the wall. But y'all gonna have to fucking put some respect on Ray J's name.
Ray J's the god.
And the genius that is.
For sure.
He has learned how to work this reality shit. He has learned, besides Kris Jenner and that sex tape fiasco shit they had. Well, not him and Kris, but Kris's daughter. They have both learned how to make empires. Off of that incident. And if y'all don't see the marketing geniuses that they are.
Just, you know.
Yes.
You know.
I just don't even know what to say to you.
I don't kind of want to spoil it for y'all. I just want y'all to go.
No, damn that. Because y'all should have got on. The app is $3.94.
We told y'all last episode. It's on the Zeus Network. We were 8 episodes in?
8, 9? It's 8. Was it 8? I think it's 8.
Eight, nine.
Look, we could while we playing, we could go to it and see how many episodes it is
like,
right now.
We're like 8 or 9
but
episodes.
The thing is,
9. We're at 9 episodes. We're at 9 episodes
is
of pure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, go back.
Yeah, it's 9. The last one with New York.
Okay. Okay, got it. We're at
9 episodes of pure, and I mean pure ignorance.
And I love every 46 minutes of this shit.
The most disrespectful, too. Like,
it's definitely most disrespectful.
Wait, side note. There was a man that wrote that book. I'm sorry. He, the person that gave it to me. Cause
so, a man, Dr. Lay Africa, right?
Yeah.
So he passed.
Yeah.
Okay. Because when I said a man, I was like, wait, a girl?
Yeah.
I'm like, did he pass?
He missed. I was like, because at first I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
No, because this says Layla clearly.
Like, listen to the show.
No, I text my friend for the name. No, okay. I text the name of the actual book, like who wrote it. And the name before I said it. Okay. And I was like,
oh. Yeah, he had it. Rest in peace, Dr. Lay Africa. I used to follow him on, not follow him, but I've seen him a lot.
Watch him on YouTube.
And, Sonetta TV and all that.
Because I was like, I thought it was.
I'm going to need one of your codes for one of these apps, too. I'm not going to say it out loud. Cause
everyone.
Like, wait a minute. I think I need that one and that one. I'm not going to say it out loud, but.
Oh, I only need one of them.
I have several of these.
I only need one of them. Everything else, I
but anyway. I still haven't seen Tenet. I got to finish watching that. Tenet, heard it's very good.
Look at us. We all in the Apple TV.
Right.
But anyway, one more chance. We suggest y'all watch this shit. Y'all are not. By the time our next episode drops, we'll be at 10 episodes.
And to be clear, One More Chance is not a show you watch for educational purposes or anything.
Zero.
No.
It's zero that. It's not for any. It's strictly for like ghetto sorcery and mastery of the ignorant levels. That's literally what it is.
God, we're also going to have to start putting some respect on Chance's name because he knows exactly what to give the camera. He knows exactly what to say. He knows when to say it. It's brilliancy. Okay, it's just all pure trash TV brilliancy. Okay,
I want to shout out his name giving abilities. That
oh my god,
everybody can't name.
First of all, the fact that he came to us like Flavor of Love, the fact that he came at us like we didn't discover him on one of these type shows, and was like, it's hard for me to. Remember everybody's names. You come in here with Isha's, Queisha's, Beisha's. I don't know that. Isha's, so I'm going to give you my own nickname. Like, nigga, duh, that's how this works. Nobody gets their real name.
This is a hybrid of all of our favorite dating shows.
He named a person Roly Poly Snacks
Meals. Snacks meals.
So it's like so disrespectful, but you keep watching like they really named this nigga Mangina. They named the woman BDB.
One of a kinda.
No, one kinda.
One kinda. One of a kinda. One
he
kinda.
Wanted to name her what kinda. But she didn't know the African language.
Right. She knew some other shit, but you didn't
know. No. Listen to that. The African language. Nigga, which one?
he don't know.
You don't even know to differentiate between different countries in Africa and that they all have their own dialect. You just said she don't even know the African language. And that was disheartening. So I'm a namer, one kinda.
Yeah, man.
That's, big girl was fighting and he gave her Fritos and a blunt to calm her down.
Regular Fritos at that. He didn't even give her chili cheese, barbecue,
even
twist.
The producer off to the side had to laugh and be like, oh my God. He was like, here go your snacks. Calm
she
down.
She ate that shit like a T-Rex eating a fruit snack.
When she pulled that wig off, let me tell you, I said, baby done got hot. Mama done got hot.
You know what?
She's sick of the bullshit that y'all got going on. And she's just ready to go home.
Please.
At this point.
Please. I want you guys to join us as a family every Sunday when these episodes drop. Every
$4.99,
Sunday,
man. It's just $3.99.
$3.99.
$4. Don't go to Starbucks for a month.
Oh, a day.
For a day.
It's
right.
A day.
And get your
right.
Yeah, I think they do the 30-day free or 7-day free.
Sign up. It's $3.99.
And mind you, like that isn't the only package of ghetto-ness you're gonna get.
I was about to say because I've also tuned in to Jocelyn's Cabaret. Mm-mm-mm. I binge watched that whole show. The one show that I found it very difficult to watch because of one specific scene, Black China. Yeah. That is so disturbing and sad, and it's a very hard watch. I can't laugh at that. I think that there is some major healing that needs to be done. On that first episode, Tokyo Toni says in her confessional, and I quote, "Your mama is still your mama. I don't give a fuck if she sold your pussy to 100 niggas. That's still your mama." What is that? What is that? What was that? But I found that I turned it off right after that.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's heavy.
But you know, those are the people who they offer these shows to, and that's what it is. Like, you want to pause the show? You want the shaking?
Yeah, you feel it? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I just was like, are we having a little mini earthquake or something?
Yeah, we don't know what's going on in the band.
But you know, people need therapy. And
man, that like that don't need to be yeah. Some stuff.
Put a light in a on their
issues.
You know what I mean? And a lot of times, you know, people who have issues like that don't think they have issues. They just think the world is that way. And what do you mean? I know, just because you know how people are so small, thinking like, what you mean? I know a gang of people like this because everybody thinks their world is the world. You know what I mean? So that's why I don't even watch that shit like that. I mean, first of all, it's all fucked up ignorant entertainment. You know what I mean? If you are entertained, you know, but yeah, saying shit like that is like disgusting. Like, you know, but then again, respectfully, and I don't mean it's disrespectfully, but it wouldn't be telling the truth if I said, what do you expect?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like when I see them on the internet before Instagram, stuff like that, or different times they've got into it, sending shit back and forth.
It's just hard to goddamn watch. It really is. But you know, Jocelyn's Cabaret is good.
Is it good or is it just
it's entertaining.
Okay, there
we it's go. Entertaining. There we go. It's a part. Yeah, it's entertaining. That's all I can say.
I'll go watch it.
It's just like, damn, Jocelyn, you really think this music is good?
That's fucked up.
Hello, she said, I am so yummy, you get in my tummies.
Wait, why'd you say it like that?
Because that's how she said it. Right. She said, where that dick at, nigga? I want no fuck.
It's crazy. That didn't even turn me on.
Like, it's like what? A bad impression of DMX.
Like, no. It's right.
It's like
right.
Like DMX lost his voice. The fuck?
Before we get out of here, I just want to say that although we did not get the breakup verses, and let's stop calling them verses because at this point it's just music celebrations. It's a chance to, if you're younger, learn about some music. Some of them are battles.
Somebody tell Gucci that.
First of all,
that was a goddamn
did you see the security after?
That was the first verse.
Did you see? I was about to say that was cool. That was the first verses. Right. Did you see his security outside after?
Yes,
whoa. But let's just say this. This one coming up, although y'all didn't get Keisha Cole and motherfucking Ashanti, let me tell you what they are giving me. And it was my prediction because I said it would make perfect fucking sense. And I feel like
credit.
Swiss Beats and motherfucking Timberland are angels for giving me E-40, Fonzarelli, and Todd Too Short.
She's acting out.
Can I tell you how I'm going to the store to get the best and the finest wine, the top of the line fine wine, Carlos Rossi?
You gotta go Carlos. There's no other way.
Catch y'all drinking anything other than Carlos Rossi,
unless you do a fine vintage Earl Stevens.
I got a bottle down there.
Right, unless you do a fine.
I have a bottle of Earl Stevens. You can do the Hurricane. I didn't like the way it tastes, but to each his own. Get your Mango Scotto. Or if you in the bag, get you a jug. I know. Get you a little player jug from the liquor store. And let's turn up because, oh my God, the cheat sheet alone that they got floating on Apple Music.
Now listen. It's us as per West Coast to the fullest. We know that there's a plethora of you motherfuckers that's not going to understand this. Because you niggas, it's a lot of you motherfuckers who hated on E-40 and called him the worst rapper in all of this shit. Sit back and be fucking schooled.
Well, see, I think that's dope about that, too, is that they get on the stage like this. For the youngest who don't know, they need to get this. And it happens, too, when you watch Jeezy and Gucci battle, a lot of those Gucci records, like, outside of, like, the region of certain down south areas, especially Atlanta, obviously, or Georgia, obviously, but once you start to jump outside those regions, a lot of people didn't know a lot of the records. I heard a lot of women saying they didn't know a lot of those records. Outside of, true to this. Like, because Gucci went, like, underground with a lot of those records.
Man, he real did.
Underground shit. So,
he did.
So,
I knew him, but he did.
But I think what's dope about E-40 and
Too Short
is, it's one, stop calling them Bay Area legends. They are from the Bay Area. They are legends.
They are, period.
They're legends, period.
Y'all gonna put some respect on their name.
Yeah, because you don't say Jay-Z a New York legend. You just call a nigga a legend.
Yeah.
That's just it. You call him a legend. You know, them niggas are legends, period. And first of all, Too Short had a tape on the street, if I'm not mistaken, in 1983.
Yes, the fuck he did.
Let me break that down for y'all who don't understand the greatness that is Too Short.
Talk that talk.
Rapper's Delight came on the radio. It first aired in 1979. 4 years later, a nigga from Oakland, California had his tape on the streets as a hip-hop artist.
83.
Dude, do you understand how innovative he is?
83.
How ahead of the game you have to be.
They don't.
And how, in a mastery, just a testament to East Oakland's hustle, to the Bay Area's hustle, dude.
They don't.
Essentially, and it's not a don't lock me to the date. Essentially, hip hop had just started.
No.
This nigga had a tape out
in 83.
Some niggas don't know how to press up a CD right now, 2020. They don't know what to do to go do no. None of that shit.
Whole ass tape selling out the back of the fucking trunk, going crazy.
That's just a testament to Short, right? And E-40, not so far behind.
And let's say this.
Before I practice looking hard, before all that, these niggas had tapes on the streets. We talking about 80s dope.
And let me tell you something. These are two of the few rappers that have yet to switch up their fucking style. The music, the production may change, but they have not switched up and they have stayed relevant in every fucking decade and era of music. Cause don't act like you motherfuckers wasn't blowing the whistle, shaking that monkey, yelling, bitch. Like, nigga, don't act like with these people.
Do not act like blow the whistle didn't happen after the nigga was 40 something.
Hello?
Don't act like that didn't happen. Don't act like he have a real hit record out here going.
Don't all act times. Like 40 didn't give y'all a CD with 1,000 fucking songs on them.
First of
And then had night shift, day shift. Quit playing. Man.
Do not, and 40 gave you so much slang for you to live your life to.
A whole dictionary.
You can talk Justin 40 slang for the year.
Hello?
Justin 40 slang alone.
Hell.
In legendary records.
Don't act like you niggas wasn't depressed when that rumor happened during motherfucking All-Star Weekend in Vegas when they said E-40 got shot and the whole All-Star Weekend didn't shut down for an hour. Stop playing with that man.
These niggas are two heavy hitter legendary acts from the Bay.
Stop playing with 40 like Biggie did say some shit about him and some niggas ran up on him and was like, you can't perform out here. You got to go home. Stop playing with 40.
Well,
Well, first of all, the fact that he was booked by
right.
That's a whole nother type of game. Very legendary.
Very motherfucking legendary. Stop acting like 40 wasn't also selling shit out the trunk. And then the record label came and said, we got to come to you. And he was like, yeah, that's cute. I'm not. I make more money on my own. Beat it. And then when they came back to the nigga, he said, this is how this is going to work for me. I'm going to get what I was getting out of my trunk first. And then we can divvy up what comes after that.
And just the two short songs that was sampled, like all these new songs y'all love now, and then that wouldn't have happened if there was no Too Short. Like, man, I'm just so what's crazy, it's so many songs,
dog.
It's so many songs. And what's super dope about it is too, real quick, is that the utmost respect they have for each other. Just them being two kings, two legendary figures out here.
Did these niggas do an album together?
I was about to say, they did a whole ass album together. No, they did one before.
I'm about to say.
I Love the Bay.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. But you know, another one coming out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So why y'all so impressed that Gucci and fucking Jeezy did Slicey together? These niggas got a whole. Yeah, that's hard, too. Yeah. But still, y'all know how I feel about both of them.
I'm about to say that was a murder. Fuck
right. But I'm just saying. Right. These are legends, and I need y'all to put some respect on these niggas' names, on these black men's names. They are kings.
For sure.
And I don't want to hear none of it. I can't get into that because I'm sick, especially you East Coast people. Stop doing that. Y'all going to respect us.
That's what I'm saying. It's so many of that motherfuckers eat 40s trash. I don't get it.
But y'all was shaking. Shake that monkey. That she can't wiggle like that with a dick in her head.
Let's not act like these niggas did not go on the Little John wave and murder.
Jesus had dreads, so shake them.
I ain't got none, but I plan on growing some. Imagine all the Hebrews going dumb.
He had candy. Oh. And I've been shaking and acting a donkey. Like, playing with 40. 40 had the real body type. Big chicks in the videos.
And very compassionate, real. You got, look, the pain. Look, it just shows you the heart of E-40 when you say, I hope I don't go back to slanging yayo. Slanging, you got to understand, like, I don't even want
to
do
that. To get my mayo?
Come on, man.
Stop. Come I on, put man. My whole family on.
Sprinkle me, man.
Sprinkle me.
This dude, he told y'all, he said, stop being a Hector Hoe protector. Okay, while y'all talk about saving these hoes, he was the first one to say, stop being a Hector Hoe protector.
Man, and where did y'all get and then Captain gave Save-A-Ho y'all from?
Captain Save-A-Ho, 40, again, Hurricane, but you could call it Slurricane. Y'all used to drink out of wine glasses. We have to drink out of jelly jars. Quit playing with 40. Y'all gonna stop playing with Boosie. Man,
it's too many legends.
It's too much.
Too Short is the only I want to say, is Too Short the only rapper to have a song with Biggie, Jay-Z, and Tupac?
That's it, nigga. It's done. There's nothing else to say.
What y'all gonna do is respect this man. Hey, what y'all gonna do is respect Tasha. That's what y'all gonna do.
I didn't even.
First of all, I got I got fucking comedians. I got all you niggas saying bitch like me. Stop. Drop the mic. It's and three don't sides.
Don't act like Tasha didn't make his debut in the glorious Pimp Bible on cinema that is today, The Mac. Come on, man. He was a kid, man.
He sure was. He was in The Mac. He was one of the
come
kids.
Come on, man. The kid
stop
to
playing
the car
with Ty Shaw.
Stop playing with these niggas.
I tell the bitch, I'm Ty Shaw.
Come on, man.
First of all, don't act like he didn't give you blowjob Betty. Don't act Like, he didn't give you Freaky Tales.
Freaky Tales in itself was...
That's 13 minutes of... No, 9 minutes and 13 seconds of full stories about different...
First of all, when them horns come on...
That's bad.
Come on, man.
Listen. Y'all gonna put
my heart hurts.
Look, my heart hurts. Y'all don't understand. And he always gonna tell you where he from.
Always.
Always gonna rap. And like I said,
I'm not gonna switch. I told you I'm not gonna switch.
And they bump. Stop playing.
First of all, look.
Stop playing. I got a song with Rick Ross.
Who else?
You want to fight? First of all, do you want to fight Too Short's legendaryism?
Do you want to fight his legendaryism? Who I don't?
And understand. Wait. Here's the understanding. Understand that these were features. That means I was called.
They called me for their album.
Their rap. Their people called.
This is not my album.
This is not my album. These are yours. I was called.
Hello.
Come on.
You must man, be stop used it! To all stop the playing fire, with
man.
Me.
Come on, man!
Y'all want to say man. What you want to about Short, and he has the best fucking sense of humor. On, did y'all man. Not watch the episode of Ridiculousness when he laughed high pitched the entire time in tears?
Come on, man!
I went to a Too Short concert. Renisha Tucker. Okay, I went to a whole. She knows who she is.
Right.
And she's going to be like, I hate you. But I went to a Too Short concert where the entire, it was like going to a Frankie Beverly and Maze where everybody sings the words.
Yeah.
He got up there and said, what's my favorite word? Of course, everybody said, bitch. Then a white girl got on stage, got butt ass naked. He didn't say, get up here and do this. Right. She freely jumped on stage, instantly got naked. While the audience rapped to his shit. And you know what he said? He sat there, drank his little drink, and said, thank you for showing us your pussy, baby.
Hey, man.
Who else?
I just want y'all to know that. The point that I went to I just started it and we finished.
Who? I'm just saying.
I'm so geeked about this.
Drake ain't never had nobody just... Like, they're happy to be on stage with Drake, but they have never got naked. Down to womb.
Asshole naked. Bitch.
Bitch ain't nothing but a word to me. Now, some of you punks is just scared to see. Let me stop. Let me.
Bruh. Too Short.
I'm standing up right now, y'all, so y'all understand.
It was cool when you had hella weed to smoke. Like, nigga.
The nigga 40 had beef with Rasheed. Who else was beefing with basketball niggas? Who else? AAZ. And all of them said, you niggas got the nerve to believe I don't deserve platinum plaques? Y'all don't know my records?
Hater shit.
Stop playing.
He had to put Rasheed Wallace on notice on me. Don't ever talk.
Don't ever put my name in your mouth.
Don't ever. That's the Fodia ambassador of the Yay,
bro.
Do you not?
You gotta understand that it's 2020. These dudes' career started in the early 80s, and they gave us.
They are super relevant today.
I'm saying, and they gave us nothing.
Goddamn day. Hits.
Dude, they gave you 40 years of game spitting.
Consistently.
Who else?
Consistently.
If you just look at this list, it's like 1,000 songs on here. But I just, go ahead, give them the handles. Go ahead, give them the handles. We just watch on Saturday and be amazed.
Come on, man.
Turn your subs all the way up.
Man, what?
Nigga, what? But anyway, we on Instagram, Overrated Truth Pod. Our Twitter is currently suspended. I was just informed about this. But we'll get that back. But OverratedTruthPod@gmail.com. Patreon is in the description. Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast, subscribe. We're back consistently, as you can see. We're on Anchor as well. So holler at us on the Anchor app. Yeah, man. So you can follow me on Instagram at LazyBeTheGreat. One more Lays Mahoney, they can hit you up, right? Where they can hit you up at?
You can just follow me on Instagram at T-H-E.
You got to
M-A-H-O-N-E-E.
You have to submit a baking video. No, that's going to be one of our challenges. Never mind. Go ahead.
Follow me. The Mahoney.
The Lays.
T-H-E. M-A-H-O-N-E-E.
The Lay's Baking Challenge?
Man, I just.
Yo, check it out. Today we're here.
I'm about to say, we'll get flagged, but I'm going to just talk over so I don't register.
Yo, what up, kid? What team is that you playing?
They don't know. They just don't know.
Look. You know what I'm saying? This hip-hop thing and everything going on.
I know what's up.
I'm just saying.
What's your flavor? Yo, check it out, kid. I only like real hip-hop, man.
Disrespectful.
Maybe. Just saying.
Disrespectful.
Just saying, you know.
Disrespectful.
Saturday. Check us out in the verses.
While this playing in the background, I just want to remind you, it's only three sides to every story. All of them true. Bye.